Blue Hymnal, number 17.
Come, Thou Fount.
Number 17.
Thank you.
Good morning. A hearty welcome to each and every one of you that has come out this morning, and if we have any guests in our midst this morning, a hearty welcome to you as well. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. My name is Jeff Hildebrand, and I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, where it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's begin this morning with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather before your throne of grace this beautiful morning, we thank you for this opportunity of this time of fellowship. We thank you for the songs and the singing that we've just done. Lord, we just lift our voices up to you and we praise you and we honor you for the awesome God you are. Father, we know that there's many challenges out in the world today. Many questions and many people are searching. So Lord, we just ask that with your mighty hand, you would guide us to lead and help those that are lost in the world. Father, we pray especially for them who have no desire to have fellowship with you. Lord, that you would soften their hearts and that we, your servants, would be willing to go and share the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ to them. And Lord, wherever the word is being preached in truth this morning, Father, we ask that you bless those speakers, and bless those that are to receive your word. Now, Father, as we look into your word this morning, we ask that you would open our hearts to your leading and your guiding. Father, we also ask that you place a hedge of protection around us this morning. And Lord, that you would rebuke Satan and his forces, that they would have no part here this morning. But Father, that you and you alone would be glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. For those of you that have your Bibles along, I would encourage you to turn with me to the book of James, chapter 5. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 13 to the end of the chapter. So that's James, chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. And it reads as follows: "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Thus far. When I was preparing for this morning's message and I looked at this passage of text from James, I wanted to draw our attention to a few things. In verse 16, it talks about confession of faults, and we're supposed to pray for one another. It goes on to say, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." How do we become righteous before God? What do we need to do? How do we do this? And when we look at the confession, in verse 16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another." If we want to stand right before God, we certainly have to confess our faults before him. And once we do that, we can stand righteous before him. So that's my encouragement this morning. We want to stand right before God. I understand you'll be having communion here. I think it's tomorrow night, I believe. And we want to make sure we're ready for that. And this is part of that, that we confess our faults one to another if we need be. That we fix those things.
that are maybe in our way. When we look at the power of prayer and what it can accomplish, it certainly can accomplish so much. And I want to turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. And I will be reading at beginning at verse 25. So Elijah, or I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 25. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from the morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leapt upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with his stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. We had a godly man go before a group of people, and as I read earlier, it just said many people. I don't know a number, but there was a group of many people there that were, in a sense, trying to disprove God or prove that their gods were real. And they found out with prayer, and then I guess their tradition was to cut themselves. They did all those things so that they draw attention from their god, Baal. And there was no response. Then we look at what Elijah did. He trusted God. And he prayed to him. And God showed them, showed all the people who he was. I wonder how God has shown himself to you. And how sometimes we forget about that. Has God revealed yourself or himself to you in a way? Maybe it's a very personal way. And sometimes we become a little bit quiet about it. Maybe we kind of go into our own little space and we're amazed with it, but we don't want to expand on it, and we don't sometimes want to share with others what God is doing. And we see things happening in this world, we absolutely marvel at some of the things that God has his hand in, and he's revealing himself to us. And my niece, she just had her first child. And to me, that's always a miracle when life comes into this world, the birth of a child. That's an absolute miracle. In our church in Somerfeld, we have a gentleman who had a heart transplant a few months ago. And so part of this journey, as we found out that he was going to go for this heart transplant, was, well, we just got in, went, our church went into prayer. We went into prayer. And he was flown out to Ottawa for this surgery. And I'm not sure exactly how long they normally stay in Ottawa for after surgery. But he set a new record by the grace of God. That was the shortest stint a person had left from a heart transplant. And God worked a miracle. And sometimes we forget to acknowledge God through all those things. And I want to encourage you this morning, if God has done something big in your life, acknowledge him for that. Praise him for that. And that's exactly what Elijah did here. He praised God for what was about to happen or what just happened. He didn't hold any of the glory for himself. Friends, that means we need to be willing to go out and share some of these things. And a personal testimony is a very powerful tool. When you have your story of what God has done in your life, and you share it with others, it has a major impact, whether you see that or not. You know, in the ministry, we have the opportunity to visit people, and we get to hear a lot of these amazing stories. And some people are willing to share and make it a public announcement type thing, and some people are not. But as long as we're doing it for God's glory, this gentleman who had this heart transplant, his wife said something that really stuck with me. You know, as we go through spring and we go through baptism and you know, we look at Scripture and we say, create in me, O God, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. That creating a new heart. And this is how she put it. She said, my husband was given a new heart. Literally. We had an opportunity. We could take this heart or we could say no. We could reject this heart and say we're going to try it another way. But they accepted the heart, and now he's living as normal a life as you and I, other than perhaps maybe the medication that he's on. But Jesus Christ offers you that new heart every day. He offers a new heart to all. He offers that new heart to the person that is down the street that curses you or curses God. But he's offering it to them. And sometimes you and I need to be that person to go over to that neighbor and say, you know what? How about we talk about this? How about we work through this? Have you ever really considered your friend or former friend or your neighbor or a stranger, maybe a co-worker? Have you ever considered inviting them into the church? There was a survey done, and The question was posed to mostly, I guess, non-believers. And they were asked, if you were invited to church, would you go? If you were invited into a church, would you go? 80% of them responded by saying, we would go, but we've never been invited. Friends, we have some work to do. We have some work to do. Let's invite the neighbors. Let's invite those people that maybe aren't so appealing to what we would say would be, you know, or what we sometimes think should be in the church. Those are the ones that Jesus went to and said, they need to be in the church. And we need to get them in here so they can experience truth. And experience God's word. And experience what fellowship with God is. That's all of our responsibility. So I want to encourage you to do that. And we can do that by trusting God. When we look at what Elijah did, I want to put myself in his shoes. So if I'm standing there, I think I'm pretty nervous in front of all these people that are non-believers, and I'm going to stand there and show them what God can do. Well, I guess I'm not going to show them, but God is going to show what he can do. He's going to use me as a vessel. I think I'd be very nervous. I don't know about the rest of you. But what did he do? He stood firm. He said, God, you're going to use me, and I'm going to allow that. And then God was glorified. Because the people came to them. Came back to him. That's an amazing journey that those people experienced. They went away from the Lord for whatever reason. And we know that people have excuses. All sorts of excuses why they decide not to follow God anymore. But I hope we do what is right in God's eyes. And so I want to turn to the book of Romans chapter 12, and I want to read two verses there, verses 1 and 2. Here it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is not asking you to do anything unreasonable. We as believers, this is our reasonable service. And he goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we look at the life of Christ and what he did, he always said to the people that he was doing the will of the Father. And I hope that is what we can lay claim to. That's what we're striving for. That we want to do the will of God. Because he is our Father. And as we look at this, and as we try to maybe understand it, we have to put our complete trust in him. There are so many cases in the Old Testament where people absolutely put their trust in God. And I heard years ago someone say to me, why would you study the Old Testament? What value is it to you? Or of what value is that to you? And I think the value that we see in the Old Testament is of all those things that went on, how God worked through people, and how people came to know him. It's very valuable. The whole Bible is valuable. Yes, in the New Testament, we are given something new, and that was Jesus Christ. And if we accept him as Lord and Savior, well, then we get something even more special. And that's the salvation of our souls. And we know that God loves all of his creation. We know that God loves every man, woman, and child that he has created. And he wants to give them that same opportunity of salvation.
His door is wide open for that. And he does use people. He uses you and he uses me. So we need to be willing to be used, which is simply our reasonable service. He's not asking anything, like I said earlier, he's not asking anything that is unreasonable. I want to read a few more passages of text and continue in chapter 12, and I want to start at verse 9. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." And I want to pause there. Do we abhor evil? Do you understand what that is saying to us? It's kind of telling us, you know, we have to get away from that. Don't allow it in your life. Don't allow it in your homes. Whatever that evil is. And we're going to look into that a little bit later on. It goes on to say, cleave to that which is good. Well, that's Jesus Christ, so let's cleave to good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's quite a characteristic, I would say, that we would, if we want to be successful, that we need to hold on to. And that can be very challenging, it can be very difficult. But again, if we are going to trust God fully and allow him to move in our life, it's possible. How many of us have trouble when somebody does something to us that we would rather curse them than bless them? Possibly, there's quite a few. But I want to encourage us this morning. That is not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches us we need to bless them. Be good to them. And I know it's difficult. We sometimes pray for patience and we get sent an individual into our life and we learn patience. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but you know, sometimes you wonder what God is trying to teach. And we learn. And with that, I think we sometimes can relate to people a little bit better. So if you're experiencing some of those challenges, I would again just encourage you, lean on God, trust in him. There's a plan behind all this. And it's for the good. So let's just follow it through following God's word. And, you know, it's going to work out the way God has it planned. Make yourself available for the work. Remember, he's not asking you to go
anywhere that, like it says here in Romans, I'm going to go back to Romans 12. It is our reasonable service. That's all he's asking you. And let's take a moment to think about that when we talk about reasonable service. Now, for you that have children, and they have their household duties or whatever it is, their duties that you ask your children to do, sometimes they think it's unreasonable. But really, it probably isn't. For the most part, you know, the house got to get cleaned up, or the barns or whatever you have. And it's really not that unreasonable. I know I was 12, 13 years, 14 years old at one point too in my life. And I thought it was pretty unfair that I had to go muck out the stalls. And yet I reflect on that now, and I look back at my life and I look at it and say, I don't think I would change a whole lot. Because it taught me so much. So be open to God's leading and his teaching through those times. Before we go over to the second portion of service this morning, I want to give us all an opportunity for some time in prayer. So I just trust you will pray in the name of Jesus, and that you will pray for whatever is upon your heart. So for all of you that are able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
Take our red hymnals, page 241. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Page 241. Could we all stand, please?
Are you fully?
Thank you so much for that singing and playing and having prayed in the name of Jesus. You can be assured your prayers will have been heard. I want to turn to the book of Psalm 27. I'll be reading the whole chapter. It's 14 verses. So Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp me against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall all mine head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, when the Lord will take me up, teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And when I go through that psalm, and I hope you take time to go through it maybe later this afternoon or tonight or during this week, really verse 14 just caught me with a wave of emotion, I guess. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As a people, sometimes I think we're a little bit impatient with God. We're encouraged here to wait. And as the psalmist is writing, he's going through some challenges, just like you and I go through. But he's calling on us to be patient with God. In other words, we need simply to trust God. We trust him through, you know, the hard times. We trust him in the good times. And it's so easy to trust during the good times, isn't it? When things are going smoothly, we trust. I'm in the farming industry, so I get to hear a lot about the farming, obviously. So this spring, as we're getting ready to go out seeding, and I'm selling fertilizer and stuff like this. The customers are coming in, and it's so dry out there. So a few of them told me kind of the same story. Every 27 years, for the past number of years, we go through a drought. 1988 was the last drought. You add 27 to 88, we get to this year. Oh, okay. Interesting. So here we are, we're going out to prepare our fields, and we're going out to do this. Yeah, but it's going to be a drought year. Well, I don't think any of those people are saying that now. We've had lots of rain. The crops look incredible. And I'm sure people prayed. People trusted God that he would provide. To this point, Yet the harvest isn't complete, or you know, the grain's not in the bins. But he's blessed. And it gives us hope. It gives the farmer hope to see his crop doing well. And if we tie that into our life, when God gives us this hope, and he'll give you something in your life, an experience, that you stand back and you go, wow, that was absolutely God. And it gives you that hope. And you move forward. And you continue to build that trust in him with each experience. And that's why I think it's so important sometimes to go through life and have those experiences. Whether they are difficult or whether they're positive, they're all teaching you something. They're teaching me something. So I listening to the farmers and, you know, as we're loading their trucks, I kind of, you know, got into this, boy, it's, and I got into this way of thinking, my, we're going to have a drought this year. Well, how are we going to handle all this? And I'm going, wait. Like, what are you thinking? We're going to trust God. And what he's going to give, he's going to give. And let's see where that goes. And so it becomes very easy to fall into that conversation and become entangled into it, doesn't it? And you can probably all have your own story of how that works. Somebody starts into something, and it's very easy to fall into that situation and grasp onto it. I want to encourage us to be careful. This is very often how rumors and things can get started. Sometimes the conversation is not godly, and we can get pulled right into it. We can get pulled right into it. And we need to be careful of that. We are supposed to present ourselves to the Lord. This week I had to go to my specialist in Winnipeg to see my doctor. I'll lay it out this way. My wife does not pick up hitchhikers. That is something that we just generally don't do. A couple of years ago, it was a cold winter day. We're driving by. We were going to our New Bothwell church. And we're driving by, and I see this guy walking. I'm going, well, my wife's not going to let me in this guy in the van. There's no way. And we pass him. She says, stop. And I'm, okay. So I backed up, and I gave him a ride. Asked him where he was going. He says, well, he was going to New Bothwell. I says, whereabouts New Bothwell? He says, to the church. I says, well, that's convenient. That's where we're going. So we gave him a ride. The other day, as we're going to Winnipeg, we passed this individual on the highway just outside of Morris. And she says, should I stop? I says, you're driving. It's up to you. Well, she says, I went too far. I says, well, you can turn around. So she turned around, went back. We picked this. And then we found out it was a young lady. Went back to pick up this young lady. We introduced ourselves, and then we prayed with her. Then we told her who we were. We introduced her like our names. We prayed with her. We told her we're a pastor couple. And she was very emotional when she got into the vehicle. And we offered to help. But she was quiet about whatever she was dealing with. And I want to use that story here for you today. God gave us an opportunity. We could have driven by. And I'm not saying you have to go pick up hitchhikers. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying, don't let opportunities pass you by. That you can present your reasonable service to God. Most of the time, when you stop and allow yourself to be used by God, you will be blessed more than you can imagine. And it's happened to us time and time again. And I say, I want to share this with you. It's fresh to us and as an encouragement. And again, you discern whether you're going to pick up a hitchhiker or whoever it is. But make it a matter of prayer. Make it a matter of prayer. And trust that God is in the middle of this. By the end of our journey, we dropped her off in Winnipeg, and we exchanged phone numbers. We said, well, we'll be in Winnipeg till mid-afternoon. If you need a ride back to where you were going, we'll give you a ride to your front door. So we gave her our number, and as we did our thing in Winnipeg, my wife says to me, she says, do you think she'll call? And I said, no, I doubt it. I says, I think we'll have to call her. At 3 o'clock, we got a text from her. She said, I'm going to be staying in Winnipeg. I'm okay. So thank you. And who knows where that ended up. I have no idea. But we were allowed to pray with this young woman and share our faith with her. Share the love of Jesus Christ with her. And if we wouldn't have taken a moment, we wouldn't have been able to do that. And you all have moments. Every one of us does. So take them and use them to glorify God. We read the psalm and how the psalmist is pouring out his heart and how he, you know, desires to seek God and be with God. And he's crying out, don't forsake me, because you're my salvation. And when we look at what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, we cry out the same way, don't we? You are my salvation. How much of a relationship do you have with your Savior? How personal is it? How close are you to Jesus Christ? I really believe that when we see people that are close to God, close to Christ, we see that come out in different ways. We just see it come out. And I hope that as we look into God's word today, we realize that in some areas maybe we're a little short and we need help with that. And that's okay. But God has given us both strengths and weaknesses. And I find it interesting how God generally focuses on the weaknesses and then he makes them strengths. And, you know, when we look back at Moses, and he was supposed to lead the people out of Egypt, what was his first complaint? I am not a good speaker. I can't do this. He was focusing on his weakness. And God says, you don't worry about that. I'm going to take care of that. And I hope we can all learn from that and say, you know what? I'm going to give you my weaknesses, Lord. You're going to have to work with it. And then there's the strengths that we use or that we're given. Let's make sure we're using it to glorify God, not ourselves. I want to go down to Psalm 31. Read a few verses there. Beginning at verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in the mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble and hast known my soul in adversities. So when we look at this, and that's as far as I want to read there, when we look at this, again, we're reminded by David to trust God. And again, he should be our rock. That's who we need to go to. We need to go to him, to trust him, to fully know him, and to fully understand I find it interesting that very often, and maybe I'm speaking more about myself than anybody else, but when I go through a difficult time, it takes me a conscious effort. I really have to think through the difficulty, and I have to remind myself on who I need to trust. Because sometimes I would, you know, I can handle this. I can do this. And that's a problem that I have. That I think I can do it on my own. And I don't know if that's the case for you, but for me, I have to step back and say, hold on here. Who's in control of everything? And I really need to work at that. I want to go to the book of 1 John chapter 4. And this is just kind of a reminder to us. It says, and it's just four verses, beginning at verse 1. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Very clearly written here. Very easy for us to understand. If that's what people believe and confess, then we know they're of God. On the contrast, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Please remember that. Jesus Christ is far greater than that spirit that is in the world. And if we're going to have Jesus Christ in our heart and in our life, we can overcome the world. But we need to accept him as Lord and Savior. So that's a very important decision that we make, and it's extremely crucial. When we as people accept Christ, that we have a support group. And I understand there were some baptism candidates here this spring. And I hope you're supporting them and encouraging them, because they need it. They're going to need your help through this, because there's going to be difficulties that the evil spirit is going to throw at them. I want to conclude this morning with something that Jesus said to us. So in John chapter 17, verse 20, to 26. And here's what Jesus says. It says here, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they shall be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and we will declare it, the love wherewith thou hast loved me, may be in them, and I in them. You know, Jesus is praying for all believers at that point.
He is praying for you and I. And I think that's so special. That we have a Savior that did everything for us, and then yet he pleads to the Father. You know, he goes the extra mile. That's amazing grace. That's an amazing God. This morning, as we conclude, let's remember what our reasonable service is. I want to encourage you to allow God to let him move into your life in such a way that it's going to make a real change where you need to be changed and where I need to be changed. That we would think of others, that we would love others, and that we would share our love for the Lord with them, and we would encourage them into the church of Jesus Christ. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning's worship service, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Bible that you have given us to study, to read, and just to help us to grow in the knowledge of you, and that it would draw us closer to you. Father, perhaps there is someone here today that is struggling with their relationship with you. Oh Lord, that you would touch them in a very special way, and that they would understand and come to know the love and the grace and the mercy that you have for them. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, that he died, that he rose again, and Lord, that he has gone to prepare a place for each and every one. So, Father, as we continue our life's journey for as long as we have breath, Lord, may we do the work that you have called us to do. May you strengthen us and lead us and guide us. And Lord, that we would be good stewards of your word. We also, Lord, at this time would want to pray for the people that could not be here this morning. The sick, the lonely, the bereaved, the shut-ins. Lord, that we would also have a desire to go see them and visit them. So be with them in a special way that the word may be presented to them as well. And Lord, we also want to pray for our Sunday school, its leaders, our youth, and their leaders, that they would continue to do the work that you have asked them to do. And allow us all to be good lights that you will use in this world where there is so much darkness. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. This time also, I want to give you all an opportunity for time once again for prayer. So again, for all of you that are able, I'd ask that you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
In the blue hymnal, number 395, I will follow thee. 395.
Savior, I will follow thee.
Thank you again for that singing and playing. And once again, having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. As far as this morning's worship service goes, I have nothing more to share with you. I want to say a heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you for coming out this morning. May God richly bless you. A reminder or announcement, tomorrow night you'll be having communion service here, I believe at 7:30, so all baptized members are certainly welcome to be here. And we would encourage visitors as well. So with that, I would like to close with a benediction. Let's bow for the benediction. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We may now depart with the peace of the Lord.